Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science. Welcome to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and planet. I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum.
And I'm Karel Vega. It's something you see every day, though you might not necessarily be looking at them too closely. Ideally, though, they give you a picture of what you're about to eat.
You're talking about food labels. They're speckled with cute, colorful logos that read gluten-free, organic, low-sodium, vegan, sans BPA, so many other things, and they give us a level of detail that might be really useful, but can often also be meaningless depending on the context.
For example, someone with high blood pressure might want to look out for the low-sodium label, while someone with celiac disease might want to eat something that's labeled gluten-free.
Yes, but then there are also the labels we don't need. For instance, there's water and salt containers now bragging that they're not genetically modified.
Wait, do salt and water have genes?
They shouldn't. And that's why the line between real, useful health information and strategic marketing feels blurry, often indistinguishable.
Okay, Cheryl, so are labels changing for the better?
Doubtful. The logos are lucrative marketing. They draw customers in, they sell products, and that's why those little icons are often cute and flashy and get noticed.
I'm going to be noticing that next time I'm at the market.
But as you mentioned, they are changing.
Do you mean more logos?
In some cases, yes. But a couple years ago, President Obama signed a bill into law that mandated labeling of genetically modified organisms, GMOs, in food.
We talked about GMOs a few weeks ago. There are a lot of consumers that probably want that information.
Right, although the labels aren't really going to provide information about health and well-being. They're just going to let us know whether or not the product contains genetically modified organisms.
So you're suggesting that maybe more information in this respect isn't necessarily helpful.
I'll put it this way. I have little kids at home, and I'm noticing a lot of the foods I buy for them are labeled with these big, colorful words that say non-GMO, right next to things like no BPA or no artificial chemicals. So I think it often gives a false impression that these things are equally bad things to avoid. The logos don't really tell us anything more than flagging things that we should seemingly be looking out for.
And as we discussed in a recent episode, genetically modified foods aren't necessarily going to harm us and can actually improve the quality and quantity of food.
Exactly. So I think of this idea of genetic modification as a tool. It's not a thing that's good versus bad. It's all about how we use it. So you might think of a hammer. A hammer can build something really useful or can be destructive either on purpose or by accident. Genetic modification works in a similar way. They can improve the quality and quantity of foods, as you just said, but there have been times when they've been used to create things that we don't necessarily want or need or that can be harmful. So it's hard to glean that much information from a simple logo about the product itself.
But we're not going to be talking about GMOs for a very long time, are we?
That's right. The National Bioengineered Food Disclosure Standard aims to fundamentally shift the way American food is labeled, starting with how we talk about GMOs. So we won't be seeing genetically modified or genetically engineered anymore. We're going to be talking about bioengineered food, or you'll see the symbol BE for short.
But GMO and BE don't mean the same thing, right?
Right. BE refers to food that has been created by inserting foreign genes from one species to another, which is called transgenesis. So current GMO-free certifications frequently mean more than the actual BE label that's been proposed.
Is there a new logo yet?
I have a version of one of the proposals right here in the studio. I thought maybe you could describe it for listeners.
All right, well, let's take a look. Now, that is a really cute logo. So what we have here is a little flower. Looks like it could be a sunflower or possibly a sun. You're going to see the letters B-E, and they're actually going to make up a little face. So the B and the E are actually eyes, and under the B and the E, you have this little smiley face-looking line.
It's
and
a smiling label.
It's a smiling label. Overall, it looks like a little happy flower or happy little sun. It really does give a positive spin on it, and when I see this label, It appeals to me. It makes me want to pick it up.
And the colors are oranges and yellows and greens. It looks like something that we should be seeking out.
Yeah, beautiful and earthy. Very earthy feel to it.
And it appeals to you, right?
Absolutely.
Smiling sunshine,
yeah.
Something you want in your food. So you see, the whole labeling thing, it's just really complicated. And that's something we want to keep in mind when we are looking for products, trying to make sense of all of this information bombarding us on the label that might or might not be what we need to know.
Now, go check out the labels for yourself and see what you think. On WKAR.org, we've posted a picture of the USDA's new bioengineered label alongside some other common labels you may happen upon while shopping for groceries. And just like Cheryl said, next time you shop for food, think about the ways food manufacturers might try to change the way you see their products using these labels. You've been listening to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and our planet. I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is WKAR.